You are listening to WXRW LP Milwaukee, 104.1 FM, RiverWestRadio.com globally, and CreamCityMedia.com/anti. All right, so in this week's show, I'm going to hopefully address some of the larger questions that I get asked a lot. So a fellow Wobbly co-authored a really, really neat statement, specifically by the Libertarian Socialist Caucus of the Democratic Socialists of America. This kind of goes out to Keith, my friend and bandmate Keith, who I think considers himself a sewer socialist. And I know that Keith has kind of been leaning towards the Democratic Socialists of America, kind of between that and the Green Party, I think, over the years. Well, Keith, this statement that I'm going to read today, and today is just a reading day, everybody, sorry. The statement I'm going to read starts to outline some of the ways that we can move from our current state of coercive, neoliberal capitalism to a directly democratic socialist system. Written by people a lot smarter than I am, but specifically outlines some of the ways that I have talked about in the past, because your question is always, how do we move from here to there? Who throws the first stone, quote unquote? No stones necessary. So we're going to, I think we'll have time for about half of this larger statement. We'll see how much we get to. We'll see how quickly I can read this thing without burping and spitting terribly. So we're going to read this. This is by the DSA Libertarian Socialist Caucus. It's called Dual Power, A Strategy to Build Socialism in Our Time. The Libertarian Socialist Caucus of the Democratic Socialists of America aspires to create a socialist society freed from all forms of hierarchy and domination. The question has been raised from both inside and outside of the caucus. How do we get from here to there? Since the caucus's founding, we've been engaged in the long process of exploring and experimenting to find an answer to this question. Though we came from all walks of life and from across the country, our faith in radical democracy meant that we were confident a shared practice and a common struggle would allow us to slowly find our way together. After more than a year of discussing our experiences and ideas, organizing projects within and between our locales, and building lasting institutions both inside and outside of the DSA, we've finally arrived at a consensus as to the broad outlines of a revolutionary strategy that fits our current context and material conditions. It is now our shared view that the path to socialism is to build dual power. The current situation. Since Occupy Wall Street, socialist organizing has been on the rise in the United States. In its wake, a series of increasingly radical movements demanding the transformation of society from the ground up have emerged. With the 2016 election, this slow but steady movement ramped up so that now we have the most active and vibrant socialist movement in America since the 60s. As we've grown more numerous and more powerful, the question of strategy looms large. What kind of victories are actually possible under our present circumstances? Given the balance of power between us and capital and its lackeys, what concrete actions are to be done so that socialism can be won? What do age-old debates about reform versus revolution have to tell us, and can they help us at all? These are the critical questions comrades are asking across our movement, and much depends on the answers. The path we have chosen to undertake begins with the realization that the state has failed us. There was a time when it seemed to many that socialism could tame the state and use it to create a welfare state for the benefit of all. Yet, before most of us were even born, the state was fully recaptured by capital, which only offers us crumbs and the rusted scrapings of neoliberalism, the reigning capitalist mode of governance. Neoliberalism is the latest scheme that the bosses have constructed to steal what rightfully belongs to us all. It is the capitalist reaction to the preceding social democratic order that was forged in the wake of the Great Depression and the cataclysm of the World War. At that time, these disasters finally pushed the capitalist class to compromise with the working classes, creating a system which allowed some, but hardly all, ordinary people a decent standard of living for the first time under capitalism. Neoliberalism was the brutal and ruthless counter-revolution that was birthed in the 1970s against these lukewarm reforms. From public goods seized by the capitalist class in the name of privatization, to the defanging and destruction of industrial democracy, from setting the workers of the world against each other in bids for the lowest wages to the brutality of the speed-up and hyper-surveillance which are now ubiquitous in the workplace, neoliberal capitalism has destroyed any possibility of a decent life for the common person. The capitalist crisis is the gnawing, depressing constant of our daily lives that we have sadly grown accustomed to. What's more, the all-consuming grow-or-die imperative of capitalism is unsustainable, and neither our species nor the planet can survive if things continue as they are. Unless production is socialized, with vast amount of industry becoming automated, this technological process will only serve to benefit the elites. We need strategies that work to effectively construct the liberated world we wish to see, a world which prioritizes all biological life over bloated, opaque, private power, and the reckless profit-seeking of the ruling class. We believe that the state cannot build that world for us, that we must build it for ourselves. Our vision of socialism. It helps first to know what we're fighting for. So let's define our vision of the socialist society we want to build. We seek to abolish capitalist commodity production and wage labor. That is, the system in which ordinary people are deprived of their means of survival and forced to work under the dictatorial command of the rich in exchange for tokens, usually too few, that we must use to purchase our basic needs, and replace these with a system where the key infrastructure of society is owned in common, managed through direct democracy by the people themselves, and used to produce and allocate goods and services to each equitably and according to their needs. In broad terms, the power to make decisions in a socialist society should reside with those affected by them. Workers should run their workplaces and communities, their common affairs, with production and investment directed by and for all those involved. Even further than this, we aim to construct a socialism which attacks all hierarchies and forms of domination. Our socialism is not just the socialism of industrial factory workers, but of all workers, including those who produce culture, those whose care work cultivates the human beings who reproduce our society, and those who cannot work at all. We must abolish prisons and the carceral state and replace these with restorative justice, mediation, de-escalation, rehabilitation, and conflict resolution. We must end imperialism and abolish the militarist state, replacing these with a system of international cooperation between equals that can heal the divides between the many communities of the planet and raise living standards in places underdeveloped and overextracted by colonialist and capitalist exploitation. We need to burn down patriarchy and abolish the racial caste system, replacing these with gender parity, racial equity, and democratic pluralism at all levels of leadership and decision making. Finally, we must work to pursue a rapid, just transition away from a fundamentally unsustainable fossil fuel capitalism whose hunger for profits is destroying our shared ecology, not only through climate change, but also mass extinction of non-human species, ocean acidification, disastrous levels of pollution, and more, to move us toward an eco-socialism capable of rebalancing the needs of all humans with our obligations to the non-human world from which we sprang. That's the world we want to build. Now, to return to the question of how we'll build it. To accomplish these things as a movement of the working class in all our variety, we must organize with all who are exploited and oppressed by the capitalist system. That means working together not just in the workplace, but in our communities, online and in real life. Our blocks and our prisons, our schools and our neighborhoods, our homes and our streets, to build grassroots working class power. We recognize that this includes those workers engaged formally and informally at the point of production, logistics, and realization, but also those who are unemployed, retired, incarcerated, dependent, or disabled, and all those who do not own and control the means of capitalist production as part of the 1% or their lackeys. Ours is an emergent strategy that will unfold in unique ways in a variety of different contexts. The struggle will be different in different places, and our tactics will have to change accordingly. Nevertheless, we believe that a shared path has opened up in struggles around the world, and this is the one we wish to pursue here in the United States. It consists of building our way toward our ultimate goal of libertarian socialism, assembling it piece by piece. We believe our current projects and pursuits must mirror, and in mirroring become, the world we want to emerge from the ashes of capitalism. In short, our method consists of embodying the world we dare to dream. Let's get specific. How do we effectively build political space where direct democracy, mutual aid, solidarity, and an ecologically sustainable human existence can prevail? To start with, we need to be able to provide for our immediate needs. In doing so, we must organize to seize control of powerful nodes of production, reproduction, and realization while simultaneously cultivating models of the society we wish to live in. Dual power is a strategy that builds liberated spaces and creates institutions grounded in direct democracy. Together, these spaces and institutions expand into the ever-widening formation of a new world in the shell of the old. As the movement grows more powerful, it can engage in ever-larger confrontations with the ruling class, and ultimately a contest for legitimacy against the institutions of capitalist society. In our view, dual power is comprised of two component parts. One, building counter-institutions that serve as alternatives to the institutions currently governing production, investment, and social life under capitalism, and two, organizing through and confederating these institutions to build up a base of grassroots counterpower, which can eventually challenge the existing power of capitalists and the state head-on. In the short term, such a strategy helps win victories that improve working people's standards of living, help us meet our needs that are currently left unaddressed under capitalism, and gives us more of a say over our day-to-day lives. But more excitingly, in the long run, these methods provide models for new ways of organizing our society based on libertarian socialist principles. They create a path toward a revolutionary transition from a capitalist mode of production. This revolution will liberate us from both the need and the drive to create wealth for the rich, making possible a socialist mode of production that seeks to benefit all of humanity and free us from the lonely confines of commodity relationships. The Libertarian Socialist Caucus is organizing to build networks of community councils, popular assemblies, tenant unions, and other bodies of participatory democracy that form a counterweight to the authoritarian institutions presently governing our lives, organizing society in parallel against capitalism and the state. Democratic labor unions can seize the workplace. Worker-owned cooperatives can build it anew in democratic form. Tenant unions can take control of housing. Our councils and assemblies can restructure political authority around our own processes of confederal direct democracy. This framework of building popular power outside the governing institutions of our present system to challenge and eventually displace those institutions with truly democratic ones of our own making is the heart of dual power. Counter-institutions and counter-power. There are many examples of various counter-institutions, but they all share some core characteristics. They are directly democratic, are created and run by the people who benefit from them, and are independent of control by the state and capital alike. By building these organizations, working class people can create a new form of social, political, and economic power that exists in tension and opposition to the power of capitalism and the state. Counter-institutions can include, but are not limited to, community councils, popular neighborhood assemblies, workers' councils, syndicalist unions, rank-and-file trade unions, worker-owned cooperatives, locally and regionally networked redistributive solidarity economies, participatory budgeting initiatives, and time banks. They also include collectives committed to the provision of mutual aid and disaster relief, tenant unions, community land trusts, cooperative housing, communal agriculture and food distribution systems, community-owned energy, horizontal education models, childcare collectives, and community-run health clinics, just to name a few. These structures cannot exist in isolation, but must actively network and support one another across communities and regions. Where this dynamic is newly emerging, counter-institutions must strive to support the creation and fostering of similar organizing. When possible, these counter-institutions link up politically, economically, and socially to form a self-sufficient ecosystem, and ultimately confederate into direct democratic political bodies in and across communities all over the world. Our goal in building up this infrastructure is to create counterpower. Counterpower is our ability to delegitimize, disrupt, and demonstrate our power against the current regime by developing and deploying cutting-edge cultural and organizational practices. These practices form part of the direct action toolbox, which can collectively be used to undermine and delegitimize social, political, and economic hierarchies while demonstrating working class power and forging new narratives rooted in solidarity. Working class communities that organize to take care of various issues affecting them, from street repair to food distribution, brake light clinics, to lead cleanup in neglected buildings, all show the limit of the neoliberal state's ability to solve our problems and thus delegitimize it in the eyes of observers. Work strikes and stoppages, rent strikes, highway blockades, and mass demonstrations that overwhelm the authorities' ability to maintain business as usual are all part of how the working class demonstrates its power. Serious disruption, when it proves necessary, requires that we first develop the capability to organize large actions, such as general strikes, factory or other infrastructure seizures, and mass uprisings that establish autonomous areas of working class organization and bases for mobilizing to take control of our whole society. Once these methods combine and embolden the large and organized mass base, they represent a direct contestation of the ruling institutions of society, and we have then entered into a situation of true dual power. At this stage, the powers that be are rivaled by a counterpower which has become strong enough to provide the real possibility of overthrowing the existing social order, and it becomes unthinkable to take even one step back. We believe that countless alternatives are already sprouting up in the cracks of the capitalist system, and that these must be nurtured in order to blossom into a free, democratic, and just world. The old system will not fall from any single blow. Instead, we must constantly be probing, experimenting with new iterations of dual power organizational forms until we have created an irresistible set of concrete facts on the ground, whereby the new, liberated world competes for legitimacy against the old, dying, and illegitimate order. Key sites of struggle. What does a dual power strategy look like on a grassroots level? As we've already discussed, the strategy is designed to meet particular needs in specific contexts. This will necessarily vary from place to place and movement to movement. In a sense, what's more important about dual power is the general principle around which organizers can design specific interventions in their own communities. That said, it's helpful for the purposes of illustration to walk through some concrete examples. To that end, here are a few key sites of struggle that our caucus has identified through our activity and ways we think we can fight for libertarian socialist dual power. Industrial democracy. In modern capitalism, the owners and bosses use their tools of state and corporate coercion to force us to hand over our time. On threat of starvation, they force us to live and breathe on their clock for a crappy bargain, a wage set by our masters that is as low as our collective power will allow, and which is closer and closer to the bare minimum level for a person in any given community to be able to survive. These wages are little more than a reminder of how much time we have lost by making profits for them, profits which they can command without effort, tossing the leftovers at those of us who have produced it, if only just enough to get us to show up to work the next day. This is the world we live in, where in the heart of democratic societies, most people spend most of their days toiling in workplaces which are absolute dictatorships. In these tyrannical workplaces where we have no say in what gets done or how to do it, our natural creativity and initiative is drowned in the despair of a world where the only real choice is between wagelessness and a sophisticated form of slavery. Under neoliberalism, our labor unions have been continually subjected to waves of legal assaults that chip away at the marginal legal power that they built up during the New Deal era. As the labor movement was stripped of power, bureaucratized, and removed from the shop floor into the halls of government, the unions became alienated from their original goal, namely building working class power and extending the ideal of democracy into the workplace. We can fight back in our communities and workplaces through organizing with our fellow workers, listening to their concerns, and building collective power with immediate material demands, as well as providing our vision for the revolutionary overthrow of capital and all its associated oppressions. As socialists and syndicalists, we consult into non-union shops, dual card, embed ourselves into already existing unions, and consistently call on the unions to build true industrial democracy. We can boldly proclaim that we will not tolerate acquiescence by union bureaucrats who, more often than not, answer to the capitalist class through backroom bargaining while growing comfortable on large salaries rather than defending the interests of the working class rank and file. It's no longer enough for unions to demand higher wages and safer working conditions. They must return to their roots and agitate for direct worker control of production and investment. Industrial democratic unionism builds toward radical self-management and direct democracy of workers on the shop floor. We believe that the ultimate goal of union agitation must be direct democracy in the workplace. There already exists models of workplace direct action and of building workers' councils within and outside of the current union framework, which point to places where workers can reassert control over the means of production. For example, in workplaces where many unions work side by side in a context with many organized workers, impromptu committees of rank and file workers can coordinate solidarity and direct action that union bureaucracy and labor law is designed to stifle. On the other hand, large and established unions of state workers are often the only organizations presently strong enough to exert serious counterpower in fighting the intensified destruction of the commons. Wildcat strikes by teachers across right-to-work states has finally demonstrated the power of workers over and above our state-sanctioned rights. Rank-and-file dissident movements within highly bureaucratic and oligarchical unions like the Teamsters have fought to take over unions and democratize them so that they will be run by the workers themselves and actually fight for their class interests. Finally, syndicalist unions like the Industrial Workers of the World are already run as confederated direct democracies and have won crucial victories organizing new shops, particularly in precarious low-wage industries like fast food, which the established business unions have largely avoided. In other countries, syndicalist unions like Spain's Confederación General de Trabajo organize as many as 80,000 members, host their own TV news shows, and confederate into internationals like the New International Confederation of Labor, showing that confederal direct democracy is more than capable of reaching a scale rivaling that of the biggest unions. All of these options should be on the table. Libertarian socialists must craft a new industrial democratic unionism using whatever tools and tactics fit local context. The capitalists have used everything at their disposal to ensure their hegemonic reign over the working class. Where our lives are dominated by our work, and in order to create bottom-up socialism, we must organize in our workplaces. Our tactics are direct action, strikes, sit-downs, and slowdowns to demand deliveries for immediate on-the-job gains, all to give the bosses an offer they can't refuse. Those tactics, in turn, will only be possible if we create democratic, militant, and independent organizations of workers. The infrastructure of industrial democracy can only be built by creating dual power. Okay, we'll stop there. I was right. We made it about halfway through. We'll maybe continue this next week because I do think that the entire thing is worth reading. I think it's, you know, worth putting out there. You can, of course, read it yourself if you want to. Further information is available at the Democratic Socialists of America Libertarian Socialist Caucus website, which is at DSA-LSC.org. And they've got all sorts of stuff about their platform and the different ways in which they see us being able to achieve socialism in our lifetime. So to finish up this week's show, we're at a point in our lives where things are getting pretty scary for a lot of people. Precarious doesn't even begin to describe the situation that workers find themselves in, right? It looks, for all intents and purposes, like the capitalist class, the owners, have all the cards. I've begun reading a book called Giants, The Global Power Elite. And I think an episode coming up will deal with that once I've finished the book. It's incredibly depressing. It's very, very eye-opening. But it is extremely depressing to see just how little power 99.9% of all the humans on this planet appear to have. But that's a false vision of the actual situation. And rereading this statement by the Libertarian Socialist Caucus of the Democratic Socialists of America gives me a little bit of hope, and it gives me a little bit of courage, especially when tied in with the events in France being pursued by the Yellow Vests. All it takes for us to seize power is to recognize that we have it all. As the means of production embodied, we can decide to recreate the world in any way we want. There's a great quote by David Graeber that I need to find again. But it's basically about, it's a kind of a quote about science fiction. He likes to talk about how he's so disappointed in science fiction because, you know, the graphics, you know, the special effects of movies have gotten so good, and it's actually depressing because, yeah, we can make it look like we've got all this cool stuff, but weren't we supposed to have flying cars by now, right? But the larger quote is, we can all of us imagine a better world. Why can't we just make it? Well, the good news is we can. We absolutely can make that better world. We're divided right now. We're kind of conquered right now. But once enough people realize that we hold all the cards, we so dramatically outnumber the rulers of this world. Boy, and when we talk about giants, you'll see just how vastly outnumbered they really are. But we so fundamentally outnumber them that we can kind of just ignore them. We can come to the realization that they don't matter, and that we, working together, can create the world that we want to live in. Thank you so much for tuning in this week. I have been NTSC, your host, and I will be back again next week to discuss further topics as they relate to freedom and our awesome shared potential. Past episodes can be found at creamcitymedia.com/anti, and more information about the show can be found on riverwestradio.com.